This joke that I'm about to share with you, I think it was written by a Methodist pastor. It's a different kind of news to a pastor. Good news. You baptized 7 people today in the river. Bad news. You lost 2 of them in the swift current. Good news. The women's group voted to send you a get well card. Bad news is the vote passed by 31-30. I do not want to receive that kind of get well card. Good news, the pastor parish relationship committee accepted your job description the way you wrote it. Bad news, they were so inspired by it that they asked the bishop to send a new minister capable of filling that position. Good news, church attendance rose dramatically the last 3 weeks. Bad news, you are on vacation. Did it happen when I was gone? Do you know? Good news, your biggest critic just left your community. Bad news, he has been appointed as your conference bishop. Good news, the youth of the church came to your house for a visit. Bad news, it was in the middle of the night and they were armed with toilet paper and shaving cream. Good news, the church council has agreed to send you to the Holy Land for study. Bad news, they are waiting for war to break out before sending you. What is the new year of 2020 going to be like? I don't have any power to foresee the future, but could confidently say there will be some good news and also some bad news during the new year. Good news is something that everyone would want to hear, but we are intelligent enough to know how our life runs. It doesn't run the way we wish always. The Magi were the smartest and the most educated people from Persia. There are many arguments and studies about the Magi, but in my own study, they were more like Daniel and his friend in Babylon. They were chosen to assist kings because they were so brilliant. They were experts in running governments and astrology. Let us go over the story of Daniel briefly. He was one of the captives in Babylon, taken by King Nebuchadnezzar. The book of Daniel says the king ordered to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young man without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. They were taught the language and literature of the Babylonians. They were trained for 3 years, and after that, they entered the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. In most cases, the king would tell them his dream and they would come up with interpretations. But the king said to them, "Tell me the dream and interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asked." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. Now, note the word, the wise men. I look into the different translations, and they all translated as wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friend to put them to death. And the book of Daniel kept on referring those who counseled the king wise men. Daniel urged his friend to plead for mercy from God concerning this mystery, so that he and his friend might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. God revealed to Daniel what the dream was and what it meant, and Daniel shared them with the king. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. It was how the kings of Babylon and later Persia treated Israelis captives well. And Cyrus the Great issued a decree of liberation to the Jews and allowed them to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and which was marked a great epoch in the history of the Jewish people. So in my estimation, the structure of government with wise men in Persia might have been continued even during the time of Jesus' birth. The term wise men did not appear anymore, but a century later, after the time of Daniel, during the time of Esther, the queen, a similar practice of counsel continued. And we all know that it is common in today's government system that national leaders would have councils or cabinets. So my assumption is this: with the historical background of the wise men in Persia, this practice of governing the country continued. And this particular area of Persia had kept interest in Israel. So the wise men in Persia would have shared the appearance of a very unusual star with the rulers, and their rulers would have sent the Magi as delegates with the expensive gift. The birth of a new king of Israel could have been regarded as a significant matter of diplomacy. Now, back to the point. So who were the wise men? The name tells it. They were the smartest people on the face of the earth during the time of Jesus' birth. However, these wise men made a huge mistake. Their beginning was good, but some point later, they abandoned the only navigation tool, the star, and began to rely on their intelligence. You know, that's a mistake we make. You know, we are so confident because we know certain things and we figure out things and we conclude that this is the best option for us. And then we make decision. And then what happened? It turns out to be a huge mistake. Their wisdom dictated that the new king was supposed to be found in Jerusalem, the capital city. Of course, even commoners can tell that. Not one of them disagreed on that idea. A small town of Bethlehem never occurred in their mind. Bethlehem has been in a location as a sort of rest stop when ancient Israelites travel between Israel and Egypt. After the fall of Jerusalem by Babylonians, there was Israelites' insurrection against Gedaliah, who was appointed as the governor of Israel. After assassinating Gedaliah, they were on the run to escape Babylonians. The fleeing Israelites stopped near Bethlehem en route to Egypt. When Joseph and Mary came to register at the time of general censors ordered by the Roman emperor for the purpose of tax increase, they came and rested for a night in Bethlehem. It seems that Bethlehem was a town which people frequently stopped over for rest, and I assume the hotel business was part of the weak local economy. The town of Bethlehem was a poor man's town. We can get a glimpse of it from the fact that they were not enough facilities to hold travelers like Joseph and Mary. Today, Bethlehem is worldly renowned because it is associated with the birth of Jesus. But except the Church of Nativity, which was built by Justinian I over a cave which was believed to be the birthplace, it is still a small town and does not have many other tourist attractions. Our life journey travels through many stops, some great places like Jerusalem, and also lowly places like Bethlehem. Our human wisdom tells us that Christ would be found in glorious places like Jerusalem, place of honor, power, popularity, success, and so on. The wisest people on the face of the earth were so confident about it too, but they miserably failed. Christ, on the contrary, was found in Bethlehem. And that in an animal stall, the most humiliating place on earth. So we go through these different places of life, some places like Jerusalem, some place like Bethlehem. And I've been through so many different places. I mean, I was born in a rural part of South Korea and then grew up in Seoul most of my life. Now the place where my home church is like the most expensive place in Seoul. It's incredible. I cannot even go there and then live there because it's so expensive. It's called some of you may have heard of the Gangnam style. That's called Gangnam. It's like a Beverly Hills of Seoul. And then I came to live in Boston and then went up to Maine and then went to Western Massachusetts and Morro Bay, Riverside and Burbank, Fullerton, and I'm here. I mean, so many different places. But in terms of those, Jerusalem and Bethlehem, I've been through that too, so many places. I mean, think of the places that you've been through. So many places of like Jerusalem and so many places like Bethlehem, right? In relation to the places of our lives, I have a story that I'd like to share with you. I wonder if you are, any of you are familiar with Don Imus? Oh, few. Okay, good. I'm not the only one. Well, Don Imus just passed away right after the Christmas. According to LA Times, issued on December 28th, he had been a famous radio talk show host all his life. Did you know he was born in Riverside in 1940s? He started his career in the late 60s when he worked for KXOA in Sacramento. He called a local McDonald's on air and ordered 1,200 hamburgers. The crazy man. This led to a Federal Communication Commission's rule requiring disc jockeys to identify themselves when telephoning listeners. He then moved to New York and became a top broadcaster for WNBC. At the height of his popularity, he earned about $10 million a year. This famed talk show host suffered a couple of setbacks in his life. I'm pretty sure he suffered many setbacks, but according to the LA Times, that's what I found. He was fired from WNBC for drug and alcohol abuse, but came back later after a couple of years of rehab. Then in April of 2007, he made a very improper remark on Rutgers University women's basketball team and soon was fired. In December the same year, he came back to the airwaves on different stations, this time WABC AM. Now, pay attention to this. LA Times did not say how he managed after he came back the second time. But when I met him in 2008 in Burbank, he was still struggling to recover from the mistake he made. A tall gentleman walked into my office and asked for a counseling. He said that he was a radio talk show host and talked about his problem with his employer. He had been in that profession all his life and did not know what to expect next if he would have to leave. I just listened and encouraged him to trust in God, and I prayed for him. As he left, he asked how much he should pay for counseling. I said, nothing. I did not know how famous and rich he was until I saw his face with obituary a couple of weeks ago. See that? It's like, what? This was the guy that I talked and prayed for him? I should have known better. And I should have told him my counseling was not cheap. I do not know if he was a Christian. I don't even know his whatever, the political stand or anything about this. I'm sharing my experience. But apparently he was seeking God during the time when his life was pushed to a very lowly place. I would like to believe that God gave him another chance and he continued his profession another decade after our meeting. We do not know what our future holds, but surely we'll travel through both Jerusalem, the place of good news, and Bethlehem, the place of bad news. But if you look at it from the perspective of the Bible, the place you think is the bad news is the place where Christ is found. It's not actually the bad news. Christ is there in your life. Christ still reigning over your life. Christ still has control over your life. So Bethlehem is not a bad place to be. It's a wonderful place to be. But let us always remember that God traveled with us both through Jerusalem and Bethlehem. When we happen to stop by our Jerusalems, let us make sure to give glory to God for his goodness. When we happen to traverse over Bethlehem, let us not forget that Christ is surely there. No question about that. Christ is surely in our Bethlehem. Amen. Amen.